And a lot of times the powers that God is that has committed into our hands, he restrains the exercise of it. We talk plenty, nothing happens, because if he allowed them to happen the way we are saying it, we will kill even our deliverer. You are getting the point? So he said, now this is effective prophesying, that's what I'm talking about. This is how prophets prophesy effectively. Let's go back to Jeremiah 23. He said, if they had been in counsel with me. What does it mean to be in counsel with God? He said in 21, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. If they had stood in counsel with me. If they had stood in counsel with me. He said, I will stand on my watch to hear what he will say to me. Are you getting what I'm saying? What does it mean to stand in counsel with God? It's simple. It simply means that they should have, go back to verse 18. But who has stood in the counsel of the Lord that he should see and hear his word? Who has given heed to his word and listened? He said, watch your steps. It's Ecclesiastes chapter 5. When you come near the temple of God, draw near to do what? To listen, rather than to start uttering prophesying of fools. Listen. This is my conviction. As a Christian, remember I told you then about one of my pastors that said, listen, my problem has been that I was reading too many newspapers. What should I read? I should read the Word of God. What should I read? I should study the Scriptures. I should pay attention to instruction of the Word of God, and I should do that with prayer. Then I will have clarity of understanding. Listen, it is not, you know, I think it was Pharaoh, Necho, that was his name. Not National Electoral Examination Council of Nigeria. I mean, this was Pharaoh. His name was Necho. He was coming to attack, I've mixed up the story now, either Judah or Israel. And the brother decided to come and, you understand, defend. If he was attacking Israel, Judah said, let me come and help. And Necho said, listen, what is your problem? God didn't send me against you. That God sent me against the other fellow. And he said to me, I must be quick. This was Pharaoh talking. So please, I don't want your trouble. Let me attack the house that God sent me to. That one didn't hear. He went and he died. Pharaoh had no choice. That Pharaoh Necho had no choice but to kill the guy. He said, I warned you that I have no issue with you. It's your brother. The fellow was responding, you understand my point? According to the flesh. He was responding according to, you know, emotional attachments. But what should they have done? He should have settled down. And those days, they had prophets. A prophet would have spoken to him and said, don't go there. That man is right. Is doing the assignment of God. I said to us earlier, we don't have such, well, that's not, we are not supposed to go and consult prophets now. We are supposed to construct instruction. Are you getting my point? If you settle down in life, and that's part of spiritual growth, that thing I gave out then, that message I gave out, listen to the last one, which I titled Growth in Grace, Lessons from 2 Peter. Listen to it, it really helps you to understand what I'm saying. It's part of spiritual growth. As you learn the word of God, you know what, when to talk and when not to talk. That's one thing. Bear that one in mind. That's a general principle. I'm not talking about that in detail. But there's something I want to say, which I want you to understand. In fact, let's read this parable of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me just refer to it because of time, because I'm watching my time closely. You know, he said that a certain man went out to go, and a certain ruler went out to go and take a kingdom and return. And then he took minas, all right, money he gave to his servants, and he said, do business with this until I come. That's in chapter 19, Luke chapter 19. He said, a certain nobleman went to a distant country to receive a kingdom for himself and then return. And he called 10 of his slaves and gave them 10 minas and said to them, do business with this until I come back. But his citizens hated him and all of that. Now, after, verse 15 says, and it came about when he returned, after receiving the kingdom, he ordered that these slaves to whom he had given the money be called to him in order that he might know what business they had done. The first appeared saying, Master, I have made 10 more from what you gave me. And he said, well done, because you have been faithful in a very little thing, being authority over what? 10 cities.
And then another one came, and he said to him, be in authority over five cities and all of that. What I want to bring out here is the fact that he used the word cities. Everybody says cities. All right? So you see, one servant, one slave was going to be in authority over 10 cities, which, of course, common sense tells us those 10 cities were different from the five cities the other fellow was going to handle, which if the other one had two cities to take, there would be another set of cities. They were not having overlapping authority, those slaves that he was giving authority to. Are you getting my point? There's an instruction there for us, and that's how life is. Life is vast, all right? There are many different aspects of life, and it is not in every one of them that every Christian has the same amount of authority. I don't know whether I hear what I said. Listen, generally in life, there are things that are common to everybody. Our atmosphere is common to everybody. Our government in a certain area, in the general area, is common to everybody. The economy is common to everybody. But within all of these, there are sub-specializations. And what I want to explain to you here is this. What God does is to train his children so as to occupy, now, not physical places. You must understand this. Because sometimes we forget and we preach our gospel, the application of it is where we have a problem. In that sometimes we say that God wants the children to be in authority. And that is true. I'm not saying it is not true. But there's a kind of authority that's more important to him than the one a lot of people think about. It is more important to God, you're getting my point, that Samuel is in Israel than it was important that Saul was there. Are you getting what I'm saying? Samuel was more important to God than Saul. That's a matter of fact. The prophet that will prophesy is more important to God than the outward figure. Remember, when Elisha was going to die, when the king came to him, he shouted, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What does that mean? That this was the deliverance of Israel, is about to die. It was not my army. We had physical chariots, quite all right. We had physical horses. We had horsemen. But the true deliverance that Israel had was Elisha. And that was why he ran down and shouted, my father, the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. You are getting my point. When Israel was going to go into battle, listen, Joshua was there. All the men were there to fight. They had men of war. But the arms of Moses, who was not in front of the battle physically, had to be raised up. So who was more important for victory? Moses. When Samuel was going to hand over Israel to their new dynasty, to Saul, listen, he spoke. The people were gathered, said, Israel has gathered, let's go and attack. He said, don't worry. He spoke against them and they were routed without anybody physically fighting. The prophet is very important. You're getting my point. So now this point I'm making. He said, you be in authority over five cities as an example. What I'm saying here is this. There are two sides to it. There may be, of course, there is, not maybe, there is a side in which you are physically in authority over a domain in human affairs. But what I'm talking about today is that more important than that outward charge is that there are people who are not inside, they are not visible, but they are inside, and God said they are in authority over those cities. Are you getting what I'm saying? That they are in authority over those cities. And take an example, Israel. Elijah, not Elisha now, could command rain to fall or not fall. Meanwhile, Ahab was the king. Who was the king? Who was in charge? Elijah. So much that Ahab saw Elijah and said, this is the man who has been troubling Israel. Ahab knew where the power was coming from. He saw Elijah and said, look at the troubler of Israel. And he wasn't commanding armies. But he will come out and he will speak. I'm making an issue here. So one of the things that God is doing in this our lives, in this nation, in our environment, is to raise prophets who may not be visible outwardly, but indeed they command the power in that environment. Listen, those prophets are informed. Let me give you an example. Let's take the stock market as an example. This is my persuasion. I don't think I'm wrong, but if I'm wrong, correct me. There are, of course, there are those of us, I said, everybody's business. Economy is everybody's business, so we prophesy. But then there are traders, workers, all right, investors in that area who are God's prophets, who can they can drag down stock value by uttering words, not in the newspaper, in their closet, and they bring it back up. They can swing things to the left and to the right by virtue of their desires, by virtue of their understanding. They can look and say, no. Now, listen, because they have understanding, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not going to issue here. There are people that have understanding. So they can look and say, if we continue like this, it won't help us in this country. They just say it like that. And as the government is talking, they just say, no, that will not work in this place. No, God, in the name of Jesus, that will not work. They don't go to Aso Rock. They don't lobby with Senate President or Senate Assistant President or whatever it is. But because they are God's prophets in that field, they are the Elijahs that are troubling that nation. I don't know what I have to say. Most people don't know what insurance is. No, I know you can spell it. I know you used to, you know, those days before they removed checkpoints, used to be 1,000 a year so that you can pass through every checkpoint. That was not insurance, all right? But there are people that understand it. They understand health insurance. They are practitioners, either they are medical practitioners, an example, or whatever it is, but they have thought well about, their brains work in that direction. They are the people of God. Do you understand? They can prophesy a direction for medical health insurance in Nigeria, that for health insurance in Nigeria. But nobody outwardly knows them. But you see, why I'm emphasizing that is that the man who doesn't know anything about it cannot speak with persuasion. He can't speak with faith. He cannot speak with understanding. He can't really be in counsel with God in that area because he doesn't know what they're talking about. All he knows is, we know go agree. You know, that had this story once. I was in Luz. Then our acting CMD, there was someone who was acting as CMD. He gathered all the heads of the unions. Whether you are consultants. No, the consultants were not there that day. It was the resident doctors and all the unions. And my friend who was in charge of our association, he called me and said, Banky, let's go. All right? So, in fact, they wanted as many people, all right, as possible. So he explained to us why he wouldn't be able to pay salary that month. He talked about all the trips he had made to Abuja, the money they have in their accounts, the money they don't have. He spoke and spoke at length. He was just saying, please, the salary will not come at the proper time. You guys shouldn't be angry. As soon as money comes, we'll release the money. But there's going to be delay. So if people were now asking questions, you put up your hand, you ask questions, you bring suggestions. I remember one man, my man, I said, if next meeting, they don't call you now. He said, they are discriminating. He was one of the heads of some of these, what they call junior workers union, you know? So he put up his hand. That's all these things we are saying. This is a problem that the CMD and the DA and director of finance can solve if they just put their heads together. How much are we talking about? It's not the salary that they are going to earn. Please, they shouldn't just say all these things. They should just pay him his salary as the month is ending. That after all, once they put their heads together, they can solve it. I said, foolishness is bad. That is, this our big bosses have spoken for a long, giving us analysis. This is the money we have. This is how much we get normally. This is what we make. This is what we don't make. This is how much our wage bill is. This is why we need this money that the government is supposed to give us. He had explained and said, please, the money hasn't come. You have to wait. And one man said that if you put your head together. You will solve the problem. And somebody said, so how are you suggesting? And as I said, he was going back to his seat, like, that don't bother me. I never forgot. I said, Father, this is foolishness. I said, you can't get across to this man no matter what you say. Such people, when God is looking for prophets that will control the economy, they don't call that one.
No, that one, don't call him. Doesn't know anything. Does not know the price of gold. Does not know the price of what they call commodities. Does not know the price of dollar or pounds or euro. So when it comes to directly speaking about some things, God doesn't want him. You just speak about your family, your children, and general prayer. It shall be well. Amen. It shall be well. Then I will recruit people that know how it shall be well, and they shall speak so as to make sure it is well. Why am I saying all of these things? Having talked generally, I want you to know, therefore, that your life is not just about money you can make. Now I'm getting back down, I'm narrowing down to the message. Remember we said, those who are with him, they are whom? He said, the Lamb will overcome them because he's what? The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And those who are with him, that's Revelation chapter 17, we read it last time. They are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And I explained that, listen, he said the Lamb is what? The King of Kings and is the Lord of Lords. So these people who are with him, they are actually kings and they are what? They are lords. They are in authority over cities. That's what I'm saying. You will be in charge of 10 cities. So that lord is the lord of that lord. You get my point? That master is the lord of lords. You be in charge of 5 cities. He is the king of that king he has appointed over those cities. Very important. What am I saying? God has appointed you over a city. Are you getting what I'm saying? One of the major problems in life is people are not focused. They are into everything that makes money. Therefore, spiritually, they are weak. They are without power. Everything. So, boy, the one that's moving now is pure water. Next week, he has bought pure water machine. Then they now say, have you heard this company, Dangote, is opening a cement factory just between here on Oji River. And from Enugu, you can drive. 15 minutes, you are there. And look at how much he's paying. He closes the pure water factory down, closes the fish farm down, the shop in the market closes down. Then he goes with his certificate that he has filed, dusts it, and in front of Dangote, please now, find bros a job. You're getting what I say? And after a while, they say, you are in cement. When we are building coal factory, now we have to mine coal. Every foreman is earning 750,000 a month just for being a coal digging foreman. So, Oga Dangote, it was very nice working with you. We are going down to where they are digging coal. A double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Such a man cannot prophesy anything to be effective. Are you getting what I'm saying? Life is not just about what I earn. That's what I'm going to explain. It is a place where I deal until I become skilled and God can confer upon me authority. Do you know there are many problems in Nigeria that we think there are problems? No, that is, we think this is the problem. But those who are in there say that's not what the problem is. You know, once I was talking with one of the big lawyers in town, one of the big boys. I said, I thought it was a legislative matter that they couldn't use machines, you know, to take court records that the judges and the magistrates have to write until they have arthritis. You know, so I have been talking, so that I saw the man, I said, oh God, listen, this thing is a problem. You know, when he told me what the problem was, I was shocked. He said, no, it's a problem of money. I said, no, excuse me, sir. Are you saying that the law in Nigeria allows them to get a professional, I forgot what they called them, a teletype, whatever it is, to be recording the thing? He said, yes. I said, are you serious? He said, yes. That the problem is a problem of money. That is the only reason why justice is delayed in Nigeria is because somebody will not give money. I don't mean bribe. I mean just because of power issue. He said, listen, every court you use it has to be constantly supplied with power. Suddenly, the issue of generators coming, falling the generators, He said, that is what the problem is. And you make adults be writing and writing, writing until they have arthritis. But if you are left me and say, this constitution must change in the name of Jesus Christ. This constitution, it's not constitution. It's just because you don't work there. That's why you have been shouting on the constitution for a long time. But men who work there know that, no, it's not a matter of constitution. It's a matter of what? Cash. If I told the manager, they said, okay, we need to sit down. We have to raise the money from the people from a non-governmental area and make, because this is not right. Before the magistrate hears a few cases of the day, he or she is tired. Because by the time you write, witness coughed, you go put on there. That's the joke, all right? But by the time you have to write, you go tired now. You are getting my point? You know, for a long time, some of us did not realize that the problem with power generation in Nigeria was constitutional. It was in power, it was not about money. It was about constitution. Nigeria constitution does not allow you to generate a certain amount of power. Oh, so many people don't know. That is, if Enugu could build enough build stations that will produce enough power to power the whole state, the law does not allow it. You're shocked. The law says once you generate above a particular amount, you feed it into the national grid. Then they will redistribute. So that's why the states didn't bother. That's why Lagos, Port Harcourt, and the rivers, who could do it easily? They couldn't, because you spend all the money, they feed into a national grid, and distribute it according to the way they wish nationwide. Unless your name is Jesus Christ, you won't bother. Oh, you know, most Nigerians do not know that that's a problem. I don't know the current solution we have right now, but that thing was a major problem. There were those who could generate enough power to power their states, but the Nigerian law didn't allow them to do it. I'm not making an issue here. Those things just don't change by themselves and become good. Those theories only work in evolution, which is a fat lie. That when a member jams with Glina will become paramecium. And when paramecium jam another one, then they will become they will form notochord and become what they call it. They will become what's the name? Amphiosus, yes. I'm trying to remember. Amphiosus. I learned that one in biology in university those days. No, that one doesn't happen in real life. In real life, if you don't utter words, if you don't see anything, the 4,000 or 6,000, how much now they generate now? 4,000 megawatts you are seeing will soon become 400. That this 4,000 you are seeing, you have to continue to utter and continue to build. Now, but it gets to a point where those who can say things that matter are only those that know what is going on. They know when to utter judgments so as to kill people. I don't know whether I heard what I said. No, if God shows you the meaning of some of the prayers you are praying, you withdraw the prayer. That is, Jeremiah began to prophesy, somebody collapsed and died. Jeremiah said, what was that? That was not the idea. But certain people, now, please, because of my time, let me quickly get there, because I'm finishing this one now. The point I'm making is this, listen, that's how life is. God is building you up so as to take charge of cities. You get what I'm saying? It's not about the money there is not good. Well, God said, if you are not there, who will take charge of that city? I think life is tempting. Life has a lot of temptations. The major temptation that Satan uses to distract away God's prophets, there are a number of them. One is this, the vex one I talked about earlier, judging according to the flesh. But a major one, at least in our country of today, is money. There are places you can never speak into except you are planted in there. You can't speak from afar. I speak to that health sector. Be good. Your own word will walk to a level. Then God says, okay, there are people that must be inside and they must speak from inside. You are getting me? And don't forget to, we said it last time, they are called, they are chosen, and they are what? Faithful. And we said faithfulness implies that there was hardship.
Faithfulness implies that there was suffering. Faithfulness implies that there was difficulty. Everywhere you run away because things are rough there, you've lost the authority over that place. Once everywhere things are rough, you disappear. You've lost it. Not because the Lord is angry, but because you have lost, you threw it away. That's just it. You decided you didn't like it, and you dusted it, you know, and you threw it away. Please, oh, that's my emphasis for today. He said, if they have been in council with me, number one, every Christian, so you can judge righteously, you must be filled with the word of God. You must be filled with the word of God. You must have understanding of what God is saying. You must know the things that matter, the things that don't matter. Because you see, if you watch, you know, these days, I watch TV, right? News, not, I only watch movies. Maybe in a whole month, I probably see, no, 2 months, I see, no. In a year, I probably watch 2 new movies in a whole year. That's not so it be. I'm just not, all right? Watch a few television series once in a while. If you see in front of television, in fact, my children, the ones I appear in front of the TV, I watch news a lot. And I like current. I like to know what's happening. If I see that nothing's happening, I pick my phone. I'm clicking on BBC News. You know, I also read Charisma these days. I just want to know what's going on. That's what I do. Read all the Nigerian papers online. And the more I read it, the more this is. I'm angry a lot of times. People tell lies a lot. I feel like writing Barack Obama is a letter that you don't know what American problem is. American problem is a moral problem, not an economic problem. I watch news, I see that most of the things that are projected from out there, they are fat lies. Fat lies. They tell you a physical fact, all right? And then the interpretation is a lie. The judgment of the origin of that problem is a lie. Like I just mentioned now, every time they are talking about American problem, I see it on CNN, I laugh. I say, you people's problem is a moral problem. It's not an economic problem. If you do not realize that, and you're an American, and you want to prophesy or pray in the country, you are going to be praying about things that are not the problem. You are going to be praying economic prayers. And God says, your problem is not economic. Your problem is moral. Your problem is spiritual. What am I saying? We're talking about the matter of prayer. You know, last few weeks, we've been talking about learning and praying. Knowing how to pray in line with the will of God. The only way God's prophet can be effective is if he or she is filled with his word. Listen, there are times that you don't prophesy kindness. There are prophetic words that come with judgment. When thy judgments are upon the earth, the inhabitants thereof, they learn righteousness. You don't respond and pray the way everybody is, because they're saying, you know, these people have been oppressing us. They have been oppressing us. Then when you want to pray, you start prophesying against the oppressor instead of saying, where is God, my maker? And every word you utter that's not in agreement with God's thoughts is ineffective. That's the first thing I've had to explain today. The second thing is that, listen, you know, life has many aspects. He has many fields. We can break it down. In fact, there's this book I recommended that time, which is, well, I talked about it. Many people read it, Seven Mountain Prophecy. All right? It divided life into 7 mountains, 7 areas. Government, economics, media, entertainment, education. Which other one? How many people read the book? All right? And that's government. Anyway, divided by like 7 of them. But we can even divide it further. You look at it, life can be broken up into many cities. That's what I'm going to explain. Like you talked about entertainment, that's a city. Within that, there are zones. You know what I'm saying? All right. There are many cities in life. And God is raising people up inside there so that they will be effective, not just administrators now, but what? Prophets. The most influential person in that city may not be the king. That's what I'm saying. Elijah was more powerful than Ahab in deciding what happened to the economy of Israel. Elijah was not the king, but when Ahab saw him, he said, this is the man who has been troubling Israel. When Elisha was going to die, The king said, my father, this is the army of Israel about to die. So God is raising people like that up in different fields of life so that, don't forget what I said, we are what with God? Builders. Thank you. We are what? Builders. What the Lord is doing is that whatever it is that you are desiring, yes, I want to bring it to pass, but I can't. Surely the Lord God does nothing. Nothing unless he reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets. These prophets, they are in counsel with God. They read the word of God. That allows them to be able to decode God's mind in the very areas that God has called them to rule inside. Let me tell you the truth. This is how God does things. I'll tell you a small story, then I close with it to explain how God does things. I heard this story, I don't know the facts, but when Russia, after they broke out from the Soviet Union, they were going to write their constitution. God called a man to write it and deliver it to the president then, Boris Yeltsin. How will he meet the man? There was where the Holy Spirit will, okay, check into this hotel. The man checked into the hotel, and one day he came out, and Boris Yeltsin was walking down the corridor of that hotel. Hello, sir. God said, I should give you this. There's a reason I'm telling you that. There is nothing that will happen as a blessing to mankind. Now, mankind's blessings are in two sides. There's what looks like blessing. Are you getting my point? But there's usually a judgment that precedes the blessing. Promotion does not come from the east, or the west, or the south. But what? God is judge. What does he do? He brings down one. That's the first thing he does. And then he lifts up another. He said, I've given you my word. I was sent to Jeremiah, paraphrase now, to pull down, to uproot, to destroy, to break down. Four words, I remember. And then to build and to plant. What am I saying? The blessing of God may look good, but the first part of the blessing may not look good to the society. I was listening to that Revelations in the Bible on CD in my car, and something struck me again, that when John saw the book and there was nobody that was able to take the scroll and to take the scroll and to open the seals, and he lamented. And they said, don't lament again. Why was he lamenting? It means that if that seal is not broken, there's a problem. True or false? True or false? True or false? Thank you. Then when they opened the seal, what happened? And I saw a horse, red like fire. And the rider was angry. You know, I'm adding words now. And he went forth and he destroyed. And this happened and this happened. Ah, I said, wait, John, why were you crying? Are you sure you knew what was inside? But it was a scroll of blessing. But before the blessing could be released, God had to wipe out some things in judgment. What am I saying? Before anything God does, which is a blessing, whichever way it is, the first thing he does is to reveal those things to his prophets. We have tried to explain different level of prophecies now, of prophets now. Sometimes, maybe it's in the financial sector. Do you know there were prophets? This is what God is saying, in effect. That when the banking sector that looked and said, what these people are doing is not good. We need to bring an end to this. You may not like it. People may lose jobs. Many things may happen, but that the word of God has been preached, that the blessing being prophesied from here and there may come to pass, we have to do this to stabilize this sector. As an example, here's an example. I'm not saying I was inside there, but that's how it works. Because, okay, clean some people out. And who are those who will declare it? Listen, the people who are inside, not every prophet goes and says, wait. And the Lord said, no. He's doing his job. He's a man of prayer. He's a man of understanding. He's a woman of integrity, you understand? He's just doing her job. And then while there, just say, no, what these people are doing is not good. This is what we need to do so as to stabilize this. And say, God, we have to do this. And the person says, he doesn't even realize that he has connected with the mind of God. Like we talked about, if you listen to our series on Tuesdays, talking about praying the will of God. He's just soaked. She's just soaked with the word of God. And the natural things that come out of the heart is the will of God. Until he reveals them to his servants, the prophets. We can pray about power. Yes, that's what we can do. We can prophesy generally, but there are those that step by step must guide the development by prophecy. Many problems we have in the nation is that God doesn't have any prophet there. You want to enter police? Police is corrupt. God says, okay, so which prophet will now help me there now? They don't pay except you collect roja. God said, that's what I call faithful. You will go there, no roja. And don't think I'll just give you abundance one day. No, I will show you how to manage. I will show you where to buy correct black trousers that's cheap, that does not fade. But that's the only one you will have. For 2 years. I will show you where they sell boots that are good. Thick rubber. Used. So that you can go to work every day looking nice. If they share roja and you collect, oh my God. I will deal with you. If you don't repent, I will kill you. Say, yes, Lord. And you know God doesn't talk like that. You know how he does? You come for Bible study, that's where you hear it. You buy a book, that's how you get the understanding. That's how. Don't think he'll wake you up and say, hey, did you hear what they said today? Now I have come. You're my constable, anointed from heaven. No. The door will just open. The thing is just in your heart. Then the things that will have restrained you from entering has been removed by the teaching of the word of God. Instructions have been given to you that have I'm building you up so you'll be able to speak in certain areas. And except you have been tempted with roja, you are not faithful. And no man who has an abundance is tested with money. Yes, now it's when you are broke that bad money can be tempting. That is how it works. Let me summarize everything. That's the summary of it, all right? I'm ending it now once I say this. We are builders with God, amen?
Amen.
How do we build? Prophecy. We prophesy. What makes us prophets? Because we are believers and we are walking with God and we are in counsel with him. What do we mean that we're in counsel with God? We feed upon his word so we understand his mind. There are two aspects of this prophesying thing. There's a general aspect that affects everybody, but each person has a calling. In an area, you'll be a special prophet that God has placed in charge of that city. That's what I'm saying. And without all of us being in the right places, listen, things go bad though. And they will never get better spontaneously. I hope you've gotten my point. I hope you've gotten what I'm saying. Let me add this one to you. Don't forget, your future, your destiny is a product of the prophetic words you are uttering concerning your life. Or that you are also receiving concerning your life. Because if a word is given, maybe at the end of the meeting I say a word, it agrees with you and you say amen. It's as if you two said it. That amen is as if you are saying it yourself again. All those words put together are the things that are building your future, not your background, not what you have, what you don't have. Promotion does not come from the east or the west or from the south, but God is judged by that prophetic word is building you up. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
That is a summary of understanding the prophetic. Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.